of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt, the season of our Lord Jesus Christ 2024 is now over. The Sounders draw 1-1 to the Portland Timbers.
Ooh, hey.
Boo. We have a lot to talk about just in that one match, but we do also have our playoffs mapped out in front of us. And yeah, let's just get right to it. I'm Aaron Lingley. Joined as always by Cameron Collins, your Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council. And of course, we have Nicholas Biella. What would you like to be after your name, Nicholas, so I can start fucking that up before every show?
Oh, that's a really good point.
I know what it is. It is Gentleman Extraordinaire.
Oh, I won't screw that up. All right.
But technically, at this point, I am the secretary of the Alliance Council, and I'm also that, okay. Director of the Premier Division of ECS Pub League.
And it was Pub League Day today.
It was.
We're recording on Sunday. Yep.
We are. And Nick's dog is barking, who never barks. He's like the sweetest.
I know. Dempsey.
Dog. Deuce.
Dempsey's good, but right now something's going on. I don't know.
This is what we're talking about when we tell you we have a Patreon and you should support us, because it's the little extra things you get, like Dempsey in the background talking while we're performing for you.
You know, it'll be great. I'll link you to Dempsey's OnlyFans.
Okay.
And
God.
You know. Huh. Get some great shots. Red Rocket.
Oh, no. Let's move Stop on. It. Open your beer, Stop Aaron. It. Open your beer.
Yes. I'm going to open my beer. Yeah, my God.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely inappropriate.
What are you drinking?
I was going to say a joke that Dempsey is saying Portland can say shit right now. That's what he's bitching about.
No, they shouldn't beat it.
But that's true, but they did piss us off. I'm drinking Deschutes Fresh Haze IPA. We know how you love your IPAs, Cameron.
Yep. My mom was pissed that that's all they had. Oh, I talked over your brilliant moment. That was such a good crack. How's it taste?
Delicious as always.
My mom was pissed that all they had was IPAs at the game. She was like, I want a Hefeweizen.
Your mom would drink Hefeweizen.
Yes, she would. Nicholas, what are you drinking?
I am going with the Rubens Krakey IPA today. Let's see if I can get a good crack.
Boy,
by the way, the bottle pop did sound good on the show. I listened to the show.
Oh, good.
So did I. It did sound good. Yeah, good. I didn't hear it coming across, but yeah.
And I, of course, am drinking 7-Up Zero Sugar Shirley Temple, the new limited edition pomegranate and cherry soda flavor that they've put out. The problem is it's zero sugar. You know, I don't like to drink sugar soda. It tastes a little watered down. I got to try the real thing, but let's see if it makes as good a sound as a beer. Nope. Oh, but it smells good.
It sounded great to me.
It sounded great, yeah.
Maybe it's your
off
own,
to a good start.
Own head. With that said, that actually sounds pretty good.
I
try the sugar. Give me the sugar version.
Yeah, the sugar version, because this tastes a little watered down. But yeah, because they already had cherry 7-Up. But as we know, Shirley Temples are really pomegranate in the grenadine and not cherry. So,
though I do realize just now that I blew all over my computer screen when I cracked mine.
I'm glad you specified what was going on.
Get that OnlyFans off your screen, dude.
What is happening right now?
Explicit.
What's worse is all I have is a sock.
Oh, no.
This is 1974.
No. It's scuttlebutt after dark.
About those crusty socks that you had in your bedroom when you were younger.
Okay.
After dark. Here we go. We do have a lot to talk about.
First thing though, I want to say RIP Tony Ventrella, Seattle legend.
What?
Yeah, he died. They announced earlier today. 80 years old. I don't know when his birthday is, but roughly 80. He was born in 1944.
Oh, okay.
4 years or so younger than my dad. RIP, man. Tony Ventrella was my sports guy for so many. I mean, I'm sure Aaron, you too. Like, yeah. He was the dude that you watched. Him and Carlos Del Valle were the two that we would watch all the time. So those are like the two main news sources. So sad to see him pass. In the early 2000s, I think it was, he tried to make a little switch into like politics. And I remember my friend and I saw him at a Howard Dean event. And my friend was like, "Hey, Tony, how's the sports going?" Kind of making fun of him for leaving it. But good on you, Tony. Man, RIP.
I didn't know he was that old, to be honest.
I didn't either. He was such a great sports anchor, though. It's sad to see.
I believe that's before my time because I'm not familiar with him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think he wasn't retired yet, but he was not the main guy anymore. So he was only doing bit pieces.
It's kind of always been Aaron Levine since I've been here.
Eric Johnson.
Oh, did Eric Johnson do sports too? Aaron Levine over at Q13 has been killing it. His Twitter feed last night during the match was awesome. He was just laying into the refs and like I had so much fun. He said the Sounders are playing down a man and Portland is playing up a man because they have the ref on their side, and that was fun. Like, not the game, but that.
I peed next to Aaron Levine.
Mm.
At, was it Shuckers? What's the place on like Fifth Avenue?
Yeah, I think that's
kind of by City Hall. Is that Shuckers? Like on the way to the stadium? Yeah, I peed right next to him.
Did I tell the story about the time?
In the bathroom.
I peed next to...
That makes it a little better.
What was his name?
Shut up, blow your screen.
A-Rod. I peed next to A-Rod before.
Yeah, you've told that story.
Yeah. Shout out Aaron Levine. But yeah, let's get to the show since we've sent our condolences to Tony and family. You the man, Tony.
Indeed. All right. So
can you believe that George Russell came back from last place to get ... We go right into F1 talk.
Thank you, because I haven't watched it yet.
I know, that's why I didn't say it. But
all right, yeah, I appreciate that.
But
were you guys, by the way, were you guys screwing with me on our text thread during the game?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because you know how I am about spoilers.
Yeah.
But and I was like, get me off of this.
That's how angry we were about what was going on.
Well, so I'm not going to read it off right now, whatever, but you made it sound like we were already down a goal or something. Like, it just made it seem like we were losing.
We had lost
CCL and Cascadia.
So you were looking at other scores, basically, that. Okay. So those comments, I thought that we had basically gone down 3-0.
So what we were saying didn't give away too much of what was going on, just our frustration.
I was like, you know me better than that. Yeah. You're ruining my life right now. I was standing in my hotel for the largest event we've ever had for like 8 hours being a human arrow, and that sucked. And I got off at 10 p.m. and I got home to then go watch the game on 1.25 speed. In bed.
That's nice. I listen to podcasts on 1.25 speed because it cuts out. Actually, it cuts out the when the app I have, it cuts out some of the silence, and so it speeds up so people just talk faster.
Yeah, I'm a 1.3 person myself, so I feel like that's just enough where you're still able to process every sentence without losing track of what's happening in the call.
And they don't
sound before they turn into Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yep. Exactly.
For the next 30 seconds, we're just going to speak at 1.3 speed. For the people that are on 1.3 speed to go up to 1.6 speed, it will be really weird. And then we'll
That's how I used to talk when I lived in France, actually, because they all speak English, but not when you talk that fast. So you could talk shit about people right in front of their face. If you just talk really, really fast like this, and then they have no idea what you're saying.
Welcome to my life.
So I'm looking at the schedule, the playoffs right now.
Yeah. Can we say real quick, what a crazy fucking finish. Yeah, you know, I don't swear much on this podcast. Usually it's one of you guys doing the swearing. But
fair.
To see that L.A., the L.A. back and forth for first and second place and who we were going to play change like so late in the, I mean, L.A. Galaxy make a penalty kick to lock down the one seed. And then Houston immediately goes down and scores on the other side and gives the one seed to LAFC. Like, what? And drop. And then, of course, Vancouver gives up two late goals, including an own goal in like the 86th or 82nd minute to drop us down to the four seed. So, like, just wild.
Admittedly, once MLS changed to decision day being all the teams playing at the same time,
yeah,
it's really been exciting. Each year has had great drama. Part of me wants to rewatch the 360 show just to watch the kick around.
Yeah.
But so that's definitely a success. I'm very happy that they're doing that. Admittedly, basically everything leading up to kickoff, I was very happy yesterday. Things were going really well. I really liked a lot of the pre-programming. I liked what the club was doing leading up. And as soon as the game kicked off, I was like, uh-oh. Because in the first 10 minutes, there were a lot of really physical challenges. And it seemed right from the get-go that the ref was not up to standards there. I was a little worried.
Were you at the Sounders game or were you at Double Dare?
Was Mark Summers
around? I don't
around?
Get it.
Maybe it's too old for you. There was a show called Double Dare and Nickelodeon.
I know Double Dare.
Yeah.
But I don't get
the
joke.
In the game, they always had physical challenges. No, you're right. And I will say, though.
Well, there were quite a few yellow flags that were dropped.
I will say I agree. And let's talk more about that after we get the playoff picture that Aaron wants to lay out. Because I actually, although I wasn't happy with the ref, I didn't get angry until later because of the way he was calling the game early. And then the inconsistency started shortly thereafter. It started with the new who yellow, but.
Okay. Yeah. So are we talking just kind of laying the picture of what the playoff picture looks like right now?
Yeah. I have the bracket in front of me. So I'm just going to go over just so we all have a fresh reset. This is the new season. It's the playoffs. So we have in the Eastern Conference wild card, we have Montreal versus Atlanta.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Then we got Miami versus one of those two teams, Orlando and Charlotte, Cincy, New York City FC, Columbus, and New York Red Bulls. And then we have the Cascadia Derby, Vancouver and Portland as the wild card over here.
Mind LAFC's you, that one is at Portland because Vancouver has motocross going. Even though they were to host, they cannot because of motocross at PC Place. So they have to play at Portland in that game.
Was Empire Stadium not available?
I don't even know if Empire Stadium still exists.
Yeah, I doubt it. It's probably turned into some residential project. LAFC versus one of those two, Seattle. That's us versus Houston. We know that. And then we got Real Salt Lake versus Minnesota and LA Galaxy versus Colorado. That is your 2024 playoffs.
Yeah. And now the dropping down, I believe, dropped us into the LAFC side of the bracket. Is that right?
Yeah, so where it stands right now is we play the winner of Seattle-Houston plays the winner of LAFC and Vancouver-Portland. So for those of you playing at home, there's a very realistic chance that we'll play either LAFC or Portland if we advance past Houston. So you know what? And I'm all for it. I mean,
we got to beat them at some point, right?
Yeah.
Again, Portland did not beat us yesterday. We're going to get to that later. I feel very comfortable that we will beat Portland in the playoffs. And I've talked about LAFC. You know what? Their time's up. Their time's up. We can't keep, it's a gambler's fallacy. You know, we can't keep losing. but so I'm not worried. I'm actually very okay with this draw. But let's focus on Houston first. So.
Well, anyway, do you have any surprises, any comments just on the playoff landscape as it is right now?
You know, I think I'm very on the other side of the bracket, but that's about it. I mean, even if we go the other side, it's not like the easiest route either. We would have probably had to play one of those teams, LAFC, in the Western Conference Final, if they play to their how good they are. But also now maybe Colorado will knock off LA Galaxy and we can play Colorado in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. You are not going to get a run where you're not going to play a challenging game. So, you know, just whatever happens, let's go. Let's take on the teams we've got in front of us and let's make it happen.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have LAFC and or Portland. We're just assuming Vancouver's not going to get through Portland and LAFC, right?
So, I mean, not on the road.
Vancouver's lost 6 of 7. They haven't had a result. I don't even know before that. But all those, that was one draw and all losses. And then they should have won that game and just completely blew it. So they've got to be so disheartened right now.
Yeah.
But I would love to see them beat Portland in Portland for a home game. That'd make me feel pretty happy. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not worried about it.
Rooting for them. I'm rooting for Vancouver for sure.
Oh, definitely.
But I'm rooting for it just because I like watching Portland lose, not because I'm scared of Portland, because frankly, I'm not. Nothing I saw yesterday makes me fear playing Portland at home. I'm annoyed, but I don't fear them.
Yeah.
One thing I want to note, because you see it on here, every game is available for free on Apple TV.
Yeah, I just noticed that.
They are all in front
of this first round.
No, yeah, well, first and second, depending on how
it's just, yeah, it's just the rounds with teams actually scheduled to play in the bracket. TBDs don't have anything.
Yeah, I bet they're all
going to assume they're
they'll all be in front of, for now, in front of the paywall. Also, I would say half of them will be on FS1, over half, 3/5. So,
yeah. LAFC's match, our match, and the Real Salt Lake in Minnesota will be on FS1.
And then on the other side of the bracket, it's the same. It's only the play-in game and one, I think the 2-seed game, 2-6, 2-7, whatever it is.
Interesting.
So if you're looking for other teams to root for during the MLS playoffs, just a reminder that if any of the following teams beat win MLS Cup, we go to Champions League, and that is Miami, Columbus, Cincinnati, LAFC, LA Galaxy, RSL, Colorado, or the Sounders. If any of these teams win MLS Cup, we advance to the Champions League next year.
Wait, say that list one more time.
Yeah, that's like everyone. Yeah.
Miami,
yeah.
Columbus, Cincinnati, LAFC, LA Galaxy, RSL, or Colorado. They've all qualified for Champions League. If any of them win MLS Cup, we are next in line.
So it's the one. So the outside game. Yeah. I mean, those are pretty good odds for us because.
Yeah.
Let's just win MLS Cup. It would have been nice. We had it in our hands yesterday. Did, yeah. I'm frustrated because of that.
That's the most. I mean, you heard me after the game. I was ranting. I was.
Oh, angry. You were.
And poor Roma.
You had people turning around and looking at you like hot takes were happening.
But the thing that really
needed to get a microphone on you.
The thing that really set me off, and this isn't a condemnation of ECS, this is a condemnation of my character. They were chanting for Nuhu after the game, and I was pissed because Nuhu single-handedly cost us that game, in my opinion. If he doesn't do a terrible run like he always does, and then just let the guy run past him because there was another defender there, we don't give up that goal. And then they're all, yay, Nuhu. No, fuck you, Nuhu. I love you, though.
We got a mic in front of you now, so.
Yeah.
Let's get some to Discord, and then let's get into that match because we'll want to lead into Houston.
Because we had some good questions come in both last night and today, I'm sure.
Yeah, so Do we have anything outside of Discord, just so I'm aware, because I'm going to start doing Discord?
No, everything funneled there. Everything funneled to Discord.
Yeah, I don't think we got anything through the Twitters.
So we have Angstrom. Has a little circle above the A. Is that Norwegian? How can MLS improve its officiating standards to prevent similar issues in the future?
Okay, so first off, just keep in mind, every league has their frustrations with referees. This is nothing new. I'm not angry at a poor ref performance. I'm angry at putting an inexperienced ref in the center of a decision day rivalry game when even in the ref lineups for this game, you had talented refs available to
your fourth referee and your VAR. You had Stott
and your VAR. I don't particularly like Stott, but
he would have handled it better.
This game reminded me way too much of the red card wedding. Not because we lost, not because the ref was shit, but because you put an inexperienced ref who clearly did not understand how to handle a game of this magnitude and intensity. I do have a problem with that. And so how can the MLS improve its officiating standards is I would be very curious how they allocate who is the center ref for games. I'd be very curious what their process is behind that. Now, the other thing that I do have a huge problem with is the pool questions at the end of the game. And I don't know if anyone saw the pool questions to the ref as far as, well, why did you choose, what was the level of dissent? And why didn't you give dissent to these other teams? And it was just like this answer. I'm not even going to be able to quote it directly right now, but it was basically not even answering the question. If we're doing that, it's just theater at that point. Like, why even have the pool questions if they're not going to give an answer?
Because I don't know what Obed said. I figure it has to be pretty bad because he wasn't very demonstrative.
He was pretty demonstrative.
I mean, not compared to the LA.
He wasn't gesturing at the ref, but he was throwing his arms.
But the Portland guy on the other side.
Portland was more demonstrative on multiple occasions.
Like it was the most.
So it wasn't. Thing I've ever seen. It wasn't the body language. It wasn't the body language.
One of you talk.
Sorry.
No, they can hear us both. We're going.
We're cooking.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's that. That's my problem. And what Schmetzer said after the game was, and I saw others put this conjecture forward earlier, was that this dumbass ref just forgot that Obed was already on a yellow. And so he gave them the yellow that if he had thought in that situation what has happened, you don't remove a player for that kind of dissent at that point in the game.
You guys were at the match watching it in one speed. And since I was in 1.25 speed, it did, even at that, if I recall, it did seem like he took a while to pull the red out. Like, oh shit, yeah, that should be a red.
So, to the point where I didn't know it was for dissent. Because if you watch the replay, he shoves down that player. I thought he got the second yellow for shoving down the player from behind. I mean, here's what I said on Twitter at the time. He barely touched him, but he put two hands on him. And as he went away, his arms went like this and went along with him. And so it looks like a shove. And from the ref's position, he's going to call that. I don't think it was the right call, but I understand why the referee would call it in that situation. But that ended up not even being what he called.
So how can the MLS improve its officiating standards? I mean,
bring it back.
We know this through our colleague on the Alliance Council, Paul Cox, who has been a referee, who's trained as a referee. There is a very large program where they sit down with all their refs and go through their games and will punish them when they make huge mistakes. Now, it never seems to be taking them off games. So I don't know exactly what it is.
Maybe it's like BDSM type stuff.
Well, no, because usually what happens, and I've officiated high school sports for basketball, baseball, hockey. I'm doing soccer at this time as well. I've done Yeah. So I've done officiating. It's kind of in my family. Usually what will happen is there will be reviews and you will get graded, and that's how playoff assignments come into play. And if you screw up bad enough, you might be taken off of, oh, well, you were supposed to be a center rep, but now we're going to put you down to fourth rep because they just don't have enough people to just suspend someone. They still need the bodies. But those things are, it's never publicly stated. They don't want to embarrass their own group. So it's never going to be transparent to the public.
Right. I wish they would, though. And I saw a lot of people say, I stood up for your union and this is how you treat us.
And people are frustrated, and that's going to happen. And I actually did a Google search of last night's ref and saw some New England Revolution fans bitching about a game he did earlier in the year, because I'm largely unfamiliar with him. And this is the third game he's done for us this year.
Really?
But he is a relatively new referee. I think I could only find games up through yesterday or through this year that he's done. So,
well, what would you think would possess him to do that after the red card? Like, what is the MLS thinking?
As far as the red card goes?
No. Like, after the red card wedding, you should know never to put an inexperienced ref center position.
I think just frankly, that enough time has gone by that people forget, and it's just, oh, well, it's this person's day for center. And that's where I just don't know how it's allocated. It could be that they just have a set rotation and it's this person's turn. And maybe it's okay, well, 1 week on as center ref, 1 week off. And I'd have to take a look, but maybe it's because there's what, about 70 to 100 pro refs, give or take, in the MLS circle. And maybe it's literally no CR is back to back. You know, it could be like that. Like baseball, for example, they rotate the crew. So yeah. The home plate ref then goes to first base. So that's, I expect it's something like that, but I really just don't know. It's just all conjecture based on how other sports do it.
So he's been his first match was against Red Bulls Chicago Fire back in 2020. And he as the main ref, he did two games in 2020, 4-21, 16-22, 17-23. So he worked a lot as a fourth official and a few games as VAR, but he's largely moved to becoming a full-time official.
Okay. Cause I was getting my data from Who Scored and whoscored.com.
That's from the official pro referee site. So,
okay. In whoscored.com, because I'm looking at this, they have a list of their latest matches, and it looks like he's only done 23 matches according to them, and all but three were in 2024.
So that was probably just the 23 from this season. But I will say, look at this, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the MLS rebuked him and his VAR guy for changing a decision earlier this year they shouldn't have changed. Back in June.
I mean, I don't want to get too deep dive of him.
Because we lost that game, not the ref. I mean,
Aaron, yes, you're right. We did not lose the game. We tied the game.
Schmetzer called it a loss. I'm with him. Schmetzer said this was a loss. I get it. There's no question.
I agree. Now, I will say this, though. Player of the match that wasn't a ref was Portland's goalkeeper. He made two key saves that would have made the game 2-0.
It was because it was Jordan Morris.
Hey, no. I had a good look. The one save right in front of me.
They were great saves.
Really good saves. And honestly, those were the changes.
Would you like the referee's home phone number? I just found it.
Oh my God.
No shit.
I'm not going to give it. Stop.
We could get in trouble.
We are not going down that road. No.
Well, we're not going to actually do that, but I'm like, that is, why is it online?
No, just,
I'm a lawyer. I know how to figure these things out. It's actually, it's skills from, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But it's skills.
But I know, but even the fact that you can find it, let's not even encourage others to do that. And Cameron just bounced. We kicked Cameron off the podcast.
Don't say it, Cameron.
And muted. How did you feel upon watching the game? How did you feel from the comfort of your living room?
Oh, we'll get to the game. I still got more Discord for you. I have opinions about the game, for sure.
Yeah, see, here I am jumping ahead.
Well, welcome jumping back. Ahead.
Yeah, welcome tell back. Us your opinions. I want to hear them. That's what I'm here for.
No, we got to go to more Discord. So, but my thoughts on officiating anyway, because one, we could talk in circles about just officiating in general. There's always going to be shitty games, like you said. I think, honestly, as MLS improves as a league, look 10 years ago, look 20 years ago, we are a better league. We're going to have better quality referees. And I think as long as we pay them. I think the inconsistent talent will level out, hopefully. But yeah, I think that someone should have taken a step back and say, okay, that's probably one of the bigger matches of the whole freaking weekend, if not the year. We need to have a better quality ref there. Anyway, I think we still could have won that match on our own accord, regardless of ref, regardless of goalkeeper.
We could have won it 7-0.
Yeah. So anyway, I think, you know, transparency, accountability, all the usual words is going to improve your MLS officiating. Whether that is happening, we don't know. Well, definitely not transparency. They're trying with this pool crap, and it's not working. But I think it's just going to be frustrating, and I think it's been less frustrating recently than in years past, in my opinion.
I agree.
Take 30,000 feet back, yeah.
Yeah. I do think it's getting better, for sure, the reffing, and I think it comes down to investing in that. You got to invest in the people, and every sport has that. You got to – NFL had it where up until only the last couple of years – refs were part-time employees. You've got to invest in your employees. With that said, Cameron, what game were you watching where it could have been 7-0? Like, I don't know what game that was.
We had 16 shots. We had 16 shots, and if Jordan Morris could score, if he were a 9, a lot of those might have gone in.
Okay.
He also, if he used his speed at all, he would just stand there. He's not doing shit.
I think I saw a little bit of a different game, but okay.
That's because you're behind the goal, so you can only see what's in front of you.
You're right. I'm going to end this part of the Scuttlebutt's question with our Muffin Top model friend, Tim Hamilton. His reply to Angstrom, these fuckers were on strike and I was pulling for them. He was comically worse than Uncle Ted. This bitch ass didn't book one timber until stoppage time. Fuck this guy. I hope he gambles on a fart at Disneyland and has to sit on it all day until it burns his taint.
That is way too descriptive, where that sounds like personal experience. Love you, Tim. Yeah. Thank you. Wow.
Let's just leave it there. That's perfect.
All right, Dan the Bastard. Sounders have scored one goal on 3 of the last 4. In the lone game, they...
L-O-N-E.
L-O-A-N, yeah, but he meant in the single. In the lone game, they put up multiple goals. Georgie started over PDLV. I don't like where you're going there. Morris has also failed to score over these 4 games. You know why. Is what we saw last night the locked-in lineup for the playoffs? And if so, how can the Sounders manage to score? Cameron, go.
I'm going to answer those questions backwards. Don't expect them to score. This is a team that is built to win 1-0. Like I said, we should have scored more, but that's not something we do. This is a team that is built to win 1-0. We need our defenders to stay switched on and not make mistakes like they made. That game last night, while I said it could have finished 7-0, it should have finished 1-0. The reason it didn't is because we created dangerous chances and then we didn't have anyone to score those goals. So I think that ultimately, you've got to expect to win 1-0, especially against a team like LAFC, because we're going to stay back and push. So it's going to be like the US Open Cup match, but we hope for an opposite outcome. That doesn't mean we can't score more, because we obviously can get hot. Going back to the roster, I think we saw Pedro de la Vega's best performance of the year. It was flashy at times in a way that we haven't seen, that shows he's being confident. But more importantly, he was working with his teammates in a way that was incredible, considering where he was
coming
at the beginning
back
of the
to
season.
Defend.
Yeah,
yeah. So I see there must have been him making a big step forward in practice to the point where they were like, no, 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 you've got this. Also, Nick talked about this last episode. Yeah. It could be a home versus away thing where, you know, depending on the matchup, depending on where we are, what field, anything like that, you play a different player. But I think last episode I said, I think it's PDLV's job to win. And I think he's winning it right now. I think my problem with this game was that we needed Georgie earlier. We needed to do a lot of things. We needed to play for a win, and we ultimately played for a tie. But
I disagree to a degree in the we played for a tie. I think when we went down to 10 people, we were trying to be aggressive. We, you know, because
I agree with that. Game, I just think our subs were not conducive to then scoring a goal in that situation. Until like the 88th minute or whatever.
With that said, I do think, Pedro had a hell of a game. I loved his intensity. I felt like he was feeling the rivalry intensity of the game. Really liked that. And was pleased to see that from him for sure.
And he ran himself ragged. Like they maybe should have pulled him a little earlier.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking at this real quick. How did the ref forget that Obed was on a yellow when it was only 4 minutes in the past?
He was thinking about all those other yellows he didn't give Portland. He warned Portland twice for professional fouls that are always yellows, and then gave Nuhu a yellow without a single warning.
And called back advantage three times
his advantage is horrible. And then didn't call it back the one time that nothing happened when he should have called it back.
It was just really
he's getting it wrong every way.
Yeah.
He had a bad night. It's just that simple.
It happens.
Is this the way he normally refs? I don't know. I doubt it. But
Deer and headlights.
He just had a really bad game last night. Going back to Eric 13, also he had a question that was a little earlier regarding transit, talking about a previous episode where he was asking, can the local committee do as Kraken and Climate Pledge does and give complimentary transit passes to ticket holders? Also, would the Sounders be willing to do the same? Now he's talking about for like Club World Cup and World Cup.
I think this is a question I've specifically
we've talked about this in Alliance Council meetings.
And I brought it up the last three annual business meetings directly. Oh, I guess not this year, but the three before with the club. And, you know, the Kraken pay for that. So ultimately, someone has to pay for it. They were doing surveys this season on how you were getting to the match. Were you taking light rail? Were you taking other forms of transportation? You know, my parents come to every game on light rail. And I have to drive because I have to bring a bunch of stuff. I'd prefer to come on light rail. But for World Cup, my guess is that someone, and I think, Nick, you suggested maybe the city, because FIFA won't pay for it. We know that.
No. Like it'll be a grant through the
they don't
city.
Have any money.
Yeah, they have $11 billion in their coffer right now in their Miami bank. That's with all the spending they already have laid out. They have an extra $11 billion. Anyway, I think they will because you saw how successful that was for the MLB All-Star game.
City to perform well on the world stage. You want to encourage people to come. I expect to see that from Seattle.
Now, I hope they put it beyond that and do what you suggested, which is make it free in the downtown corridor.
And to be clear, we talked about that when the Kraken first arrived and after the first season of the Kraken, when they were doing that in one of our Alliance Council meetings where we had Adrian in the room with us, I actually brought that up and I framed it in that exact way. I know as a part owner of the Kraken that they do that. Is this something you're looking to emulate with the Sounders? And their answer is, it sounds not that they're punting on it at that time. It sounds like they wanted to explore the possibility, but again, it is a cost. So trying to balance out figuring out how many people are actually using it. Does that make sense to them? I'd love to see it. It's on their radar.
Yeah, how many more use it for the Kraken than don't? Yeah.
And also the reality is climate pledges, parking situation is a little different being more in a neighborhood where you want to encourage transit, because if you don't, it's just going to make everyone's experience that much more negative.
I just go to the Pineapple Hotel and say, I know Aaron. That's what I do.
Yeah. And they're like, we don't know who he is. We laid him off 2 years ago.
but the kind of things that we are bringing to the club. And I wanted to one shout that question out, cause it's a good question. Two, because those are the exact kind of questions we do discuss in our Alliance Council meetings with the club, making sure it's on their radar. And three, I wanted to shout out Eric, because Eric is always really good for me personally. Oftentimes he'll save me a spot for Roma and I when he gets to the game and sets up a little early. So it's always nice to get to stand next to him at a lot of the games. So thank you, Eric. For sure. Always appreciate you.
Now, Aaron, before we move on to a new topic, I want to shift back a little bit.
We still have some more, but yeah, go ahead.
I know. But we did not get your answer on what you – so we've had this discussion a while ago, but Nick and I have done the last two episodes, so we haven't had it from you. Mm. What do you think about Pedro, where he's developed, and should he be starting or should Georgie be starting on the right in the playoffs?
Georgie is still a project in my mind. He's a fantastic athlete. I don't think he's spent enough time with the first team this season. And you can say that about Pedro, but he's been with the first team in training all season. He's an investment. He's an expensive investment. We need to make sure he works or doesn't work. And he sure looks like he's working. And I agree, this was his best match. Between him and Rusnak, the way what they're capable of on the ball and their distribution, it is at times otherworldly. What Pedro was dribbling through was insane. The way, and I've said this before, the way that Rusnak can completely just pivot his body and have the ball glued to the inside of his foot and his head is always up, it completely opens up the other half of the field for him in an instant. So if those two can just get in simpatico, this midfield is going to be absolutely insane. And shout out to Rusnak too, who tied Nico Ladero's assist record for the season. And he wasn't even
MLS.
Supposed to replace Nico.
He set the record for all competitions, but he tied the MLS single season record, set the all competitions record.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So he's having a good year, and we were all looking at Pedro to start the year to be the replacement for Nico. So, and on terms of stats, that's Rusnak. But anyway, Georgie, I love how he plays. He is, for me, 15 minutes or later right now. The way he comes on. And
I'd give him 30 if 30 we
fine.
Need
I'm fine with that, too. But to start 60 minutes to 90, I don't think he has enough in the toolbox to benefit a cohesive, productive game. I think we can't just funnel it down the right side every single time. We got to get everyone else involved. Otherwise, they're just going to shut him down. Cameron, I believe you said this. MLS is going to figure him out. If you just stay, he is a one-trick pony right now, and it's a really good trick. He's really exciting to watch. But
we saw it during the game where he had that whole segment where it was like 3 minutes straight of him trying to get past that defender and then pulling back and then past the defender and pulling back and then eventually just kicked it straight to the goalie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he still got it past, but they knew what he was going to do and were trying to stop him.
Yeah. So give him another off season with the first team and the competition, I think, will sharpen. Sharpening phrase? Iron sharpens iron. You know, just keep him with the players, keep him with the team, keep him competitive, and he'll grow. He's still, how old is he?
He's young.
19, 20, 21, somewhere around there?
Yeah, he's early 20s.
Yeah.
I would have thought he was 22, 23, but I really am not positive.
Yeah, I think that's right, 22, 23.
But so, I mean,
he, but some of our players are
22.
That's interesting. Some of our players are developing later, right? Like the Sounders had that glut of young players that then stopped developing, and then except for Obed, and then we saw them keep developing again suddenly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was born in 2002 in Ivory Coast.
2002.
So we got another question from
Timmy.
Timmy, does Raul have any magic left? Is there a division in the locker room? With the coach being in his contract year, is he just playing to win and not giving a fuck about politics? In the past, he may have been pressed to play the kids for future sale and play the DPs because how much we're paying them. Is it as simple as merit and hustling gets you minutes?
Let's break that down.
Why don't you start?
Because I think we'll all be a similar place on this one.
Yeah. Magic. I think he still has magic left. I don't think
he doesn't have 90 minutes magic.
Yeah,
he has 15-20 minutes magic.
Now,
maybe.
Now I am a little frustrated at the what do you get? The 3 minutes of magic, potential magic in this match.
Two reasons. One, he was going to get subbed on because this is potentially the final home game that he'll play with the club.
Yeah, I know that.
That was always going to happen. There is no chance that he was supposed to have to wait till the 90th minute to come on.
Well, they put him up there at the 88th minute, 87th minute, and then he had to stand there because the ball didn't go out of bounds. And I think he came on 91st or 92nd.
93rd. But
so
we got the red card in the 69th minute. So it clearly he should have probably been going on probably in the 75 range before the red card is my thought.
That's my frustration. I think he's got 15 minutes of magic in him. I mean, him standing flat footed and kicking a ball is better than most players on the field still. So I think he needs to be on there. I think he's still hung. He wants to continue his career. So this playoff stage is an audition for other clubs.
And his thing has always been he's in the right place to score the goal. He's not, with the exception of a few of those games where he did was it Atlanta where he passed it to himself and he scored. Yeah. He's often the kind of guy that just makes great goals from being in the right place. And
he's
a smart
player.
And at some point in the game, with the exception of one time, Jordan stopped running. Like he was on the wing at one point and wasn't running at their defense. And then their defense could just stand there. And I think if you had that pulling players away, it opens up a lot more space for Raul to get the ball. So I was very frustrated. That was the text that I sent that was out of context for you, Aaron, that said, I will never forgive Schmetzer for this.
Raul coming in
a little harsh, but I know basically you get
in the middle of the game.
So I will always let you vent in the middle of a game, even if sometimes okay.
Schmetzer talked. Come on. We know I am over the top ridiculous.
Can you clarify real quick? What was the moment that you would never forget?
They didn't put to sub him in until the 88th minute, and then he had to stand there for 4 or 5 minutes, and so he's standing there waiting to go in one of the most emotional moments of his life. In terms of his professional soccer life, and he's just got to stand there and wait. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, actually the exact moment was, and it's the right call tactically. It went out of bounds. Portland got a corner and he still didn't sub him in. He called it back, said, no, not until the next out.
Yeah.
So he could have gone in earlier.
So that leads into, is there a division in the locker room?
No. I don't think so. We saw this play out last season with Nico. It's just that simple. What Cameron mentioned earlier in the episode, he mentioned that the Sounders are built to win games 1-0. And what that means is he needs the players on the field who are going to do the work necessary to keep that 1-0 line. And Raul is not that person. However, we haven't had it happen because we've been the hottest team at MLS since the mid-season.
Right.
We haven't been down many games. And it's not because Raul... Go ahead.
I would say we keep blowing it. We keep blowing 1-0 leads, whether it was that game, whether it was San Jose, whether there was an – I know it was like 12 points on the season. But to me, I hate 1-0 leads because then it gets really precarious for us. Get that damn second goal.
Hey, I get it. However, this is where I try to be the voice of reason here, because while we have blown some games with some late goals, every team does that every season. It's going to happen. That's just how soccer works. However, it's easy to forget about all the games where we closed games out. You know, where we held on to 1-0 in Colorado, where we held on to 1-0 against Houston, where we held on against Kansas City, where we held on against other teams, where we're closing games out. That's, you take the good with the bad. So
I feel like because we are a 1-0 winning type team, that when we do blow it, it's a little bit more confirmation bias that,
yeah,
probably. Then if we're 3-0, 2-1, 4-2, if we had a bunch of those and then we had we had 1-0 and then give up a goal and we draw like this match, you know, it wouldn't be as frustrating. I think it is.
I think the other thing is
on a nice edge all the fucking time, and we're just going to be anxious. And that for a Seattleite, that we don't like that.
And with that said, we've only had 2 1-0 victories this season, by the way, just as an FYI.
But one goal leads, we keep not getting that second goal, even though we're getting tons and tons of shots. And then Schmetzer will sub in RBW and maybe, you know, like the San Jose game, instead of trying to push for that second goal to lock it down, we went defensive and then they were flat and just got used. And I had to stand right there behind the goal with the trophy ready, handed to Steph, and instead go give it to San Jose in their locker room. So I'm going to feel that loss a little bit more.
I get it.
We're built to win. We're built to win 1-0 because we don't have a true number 9. And that I honestly don't think that's a dig on Morris. I think if we played 2 forwards, a true number 9 plus Morris, we'd be scoring a lot of goals.
We just went like full circle back to the standard 4-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
Rusnak.
Or you could still do 4-4-2 with just one center defensive mid.
Yeah, 4-1-3-1. But the center and on the attacking band.
Because we love that diamond. We love the diamond.
Yeah. Okay. There is that last part of it. In the past, he may have been pressed to play the kids for future sale and play the DPs because how much we're paying them. Is it as simple as merit and hustling? Gets you minutes?
I don't think he's always been able to play whoever he wants. That's been part of the issue. That was part of the issue with him and Garth. He wouldn't do what Garth wanted. He would do whatever he wanted. He would play Nico in games he wasn't supposed to play because Nico's knee was bad.
And Nico's knee was so bad that he was one knee injury away from retirement. He's got like no cartilage in his knee.
Yeah. So Schmetzer's never had a problem with. I think we talked a little bit about it in the past, where I think really it's that Schmetzer tends to go with his guys. I mean, we saw it with Cecchini, who I think could have been JP before JP was, because he was kind of a center defensive mid that could play box to box. He never even gave him a chance because he wasn't his guy.
No. Are you thinking about Wolf Ikram? Because Cecchini he was not a defensive mid. That was the reason he wasn't getting time, because he wasn't making defensive.
Well, regardless, I'm thinking about Cecchini because he was a midfielder who should have been getting all the minutes.
Correct. He was a midfielder, but because he wasn't he was not putting in the defensive work, that seemed, at least from the outside perspective, I think that was.
What about Christian Tiffert?
That's a different story altogether. And I can't publicly comment on that one. But
for the show to be over.
Cecchini came from Malaga in
Spain,
the Spanish second division at the time, and then went on to play, you know, good ball in Argentina and Chile after us for a few years. So, I mean, he got four appearances for the Sounders in that season, just which is unbelievable.
My God. Yeah, and I think a lot of it is the way our roster is just constructed. The bench is a lot of youth. So with a deep, not deep, but a large, long season with U.S. Open Cup and all the other tournaments. And you know, we play like 40 matches a year. So I think, yeah, that's probably why the kids got a lot of play, too. And the kids were good, too.
Yeah, we knew they were going to get minutes. I mean, this is something that's part of the plan. Our youth seem to be better than other teams' youth as a across the board.
See Austin, what, 2022? Was that 2022?
Hey, there are a few academies that are doing really well, and I'm very happy to see academies doing well. I think we're in the top 10. Where in that top 10? I think it always depends on the year. Obviously, Philly's doing well. Dallas is doing well. Seattle's doing well.
I mean, ours takes a hit because all our players have come up, right? They're all on the first team now. So our academy has dropped off a bit.
Yeah.
Currently.
But these are some really good questions. Yeah. So thank you, everyone.
Cameron, what?
Oh, in the U15 standings. They actually played U15 games. Weird. Only one. Okay. We'll forget about that.
Game.
We don't need to know how they actually play.
Yeah.
But if you look at the academy ratings as of August, Philly is number one, according to USsoccerCollective.com. But several of those players have now been brought up, so they might drop. Then it's Red Bulls. Then let's do top five. Salt Lake, which they're still riding that high from Garth creating that. I think they've dropped off since this because none of these players have come in recent years. They're all a little bit older. New York City FC. And then New England Revolution. So you've got to go pretty far down overall to find the Sounders or even below the Earthquakes.
Wow, really?
I don't even know how far down we are here. But I would question some of this because I think this is largely built on potential. It's talent pool, development, pathway, and retention.
And so your they might say we're pretty not far down, though, is six. So let's
no, they're not even in the top 18 according to these guys. We're below Colorado.
I'm seeing a different list, Sam, because USsoccerCollective.com's got them at number six.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Maybe I went too fast when I was scrolling.
Well, there
you you're right.
There you go.
Right.
Top 10.
They're six because B plus talent, A retention, A minus pathway. So those are the big ones for us, right?
Our academy gets play.
Stuart Hawkins being right now the big name.
Every time I hear his name, I always think of Taylor Hawkins.
But of course, this includes Obed and Reed, which technically are no longer prospects. They are starters.
Bonafide.
Or should be starters. Well, Obed's bonafide.
Omar Hassan and Etienne Velliard, Duncan Green. So ultimately, there's reasons for excitement. And I believe in our academy. We've doing really well. Tacoma Defiance are having a successful playoff run right now, which is great to see. So, you know, let's keep that rolling.
And I do want to note, because we have our listeners who hate Inter Miami and think that all they do is they buy their players, they are the number nine academy. They have some really good youth players that
weren't even listed. What were they before Messi was on the team? And how many kids flocked to join their academy from across the
They world? Actually dropped five spots this year from fourth to nine.
A big issue but in also Miami has been
many players go up.
The front office has been changing around quite a bit, so the direction has been inconsistent there. That's been a problem. That's one of the really big strengths for Seattle for so long is we've had kind of you know, just a couple people running the show for so long. We have a lot of stability up top, and that really helps keep your system going, in my opinion.
Yeah, so their big problem is retention. They're not keeping those players because there's no spots for them on the first team, and they're also not selling them to Europe. But that's the knock, probably why they dropped from fifth to ninth.
Hey, I want another beer, but I want to do it for the second half of the show. What do you think about that, Cameron?
That sounds good.
Nick?
This sounds good.
Yeah, we're coming up on an hour here, and I think Cameron worked on a special project, not that burp, but...
That's also special.
Yeah, that was very special.
I hate you.
You worked no. on something here before the show, so I think everyone deserves to hear it.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's have me take it away.
It's break time.
Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And we're back. Funny enough, Nicholas and I have no idea what promo Cameron just made because I haven't edited the show yet. So I hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you, Cameron. And I'm going to open my beer now and let's get to the nitty gritty.
I hope it was like Lincoln Hawk from Over the Top giving like a really good Stallone speech. And yeah, that's what I expect. That's what I expect.
Yeah, I chose it was Rocky. It was, Yo, Adrian.
That's acceptable.
So I have two notes. I had three. One of them was Rusnak and his assist record. But
can we talk about his hair first?
No.
Boo. Rusnak dyed his hair blonde, and he seemed to like really pick it up and play even better than normal.
I kind of liked it. His Slim Shady.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it.
Was it the real Slim Shady or the other Slim Shadys were just imitating? Or were they real Slim Shady?
No,
it's the one that he beats up. It turns out the whole time that it was on the new record, you find out it was just himself. Both of them.
I've always wondered. Pedro de la Vega also had a new haircut.
Like a month ago.
Really? No.
Yeah. He cut it short a little bit ago.
No, he's like that little faux mullet thing.
Oh, that maybe he recut
situation.
It. I can't see
it's just,
that far.
It's just he above the and around the ears is kind of cut back.
Because he cut it back about a month, 3 weeks ago. Totally.
No, he went full.
Maybe he's still going. He went full faux hawk.
Well, not so much full faux hawk. It's like the kids nowadays, like going back to the early 90s and late 80s, like hairstyle and just style in general with the high jeans and the white shoes and the.
Hmm.
Is De La Vega going full Skywalker?
The what?
Is he going full Skywalker?
No, it's not that dumb.
No, but
it's not a bowl cut.
No. Anyway, so the game, we saw CR7 in the middle. And I thought he was fantastic and does not need to go back to the wing. I don't want him out there. I want him in the middle. And
yeah.
What do you guys think? I thought he was absolutely killer.
I've always liked him deeper. I think
part of the reason why he was on the wing in the last couple of years was to get a spot on the U.S. national team for the World Cup prove some versatility, and it worked great. I feel very comforted seeing him in the center mid. That's me personally. I love seeing him there. It opens up the ability to bring out Pedro. It opens up Georgie. It opens up Rothrock. With the emergence of Rothrock, that really makes it easier to justify bringing Christian down low.
Yeah. He seems more in command. I mean, obviously you're going to see the ball a little bit more, especially as it's being redistributed from the defense. But he, as a captain, it seemed like he was just in control of the midfield for the entire match. And his leave balls through to Rothrock, to everybody, really. There's like 40-yard passes of like three or four times on the ground and through the air that were pinpoint. And I was like, man, he doesn't get those opportunities unless it's really just a cross or a big switch when he's on the sideline. So,
I mean, I think it was always his better position.
Yeah, and where he started,
right? The problem became that once we moved him out, we have so many center defensive mids. I think the reason he's back, other than it being his best position, is JP's not where he was.
What's up with JP?
He's hurt and he's old.
I'm out of the loop. Okay.
He's just hurt and old. I mean,
what I assumed.
He's never going to be the same as he was, sadly. I think it's a Nico situation in terms of drop off. Yeah. I'd love to see him back. I love JP.
Yeah.
I think he'd be great to have on the team. I just don't think he's that right now in this current condition. He isn't that starter at that position.
He's such a physical player too.
And it's kind of one of those positions where you don't always sub them on for that role. You know, a lot of times those players will go the full 90. With that said, we may end up seeing him start the next game with Obed being mandatory one game suspension.
Yeah, did we figure out? We know that yellow cards didn't carry over, but I assume the red card carries over.
Well, no, the yellow card would have carried over if Nuhu got a yellow, because Nuhu was on yellow card. Did Nuhu get a yellow?
Yeah, he did.
There were a lot of yellows. Nuhu may be suspended as well for the first game.
Oh. Okay, we'll look that up.
That might come for our next episode because, you know, playoff preview. But, yeah, Nuhu got a yellow in the 23rd minute, so he very well may be out for the next game.
But you also get one erased if you get a certain number of matches without one. So he has 9 this season, which means his 8th one would have typically been the one where he would have been suspended. It's 8 and 11. So
how long since he's been without a yellow? Because usually after X amount of games.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't have the actual.
Well, while you look that up, my other note was actually about Nuhu. And Cameron, I already know your feelings. But he is obviously an elite one-on-one defender. Are we all in agreement on that?
Yes, typically. Not in this game, but yes, typically.
Okay, typically. Well, not in this game. Well, part of the reason is he bombed forward, right? I mean, I love that moment when he, he kind of gave like the, well, you guys were live. Did you watch the replay at all or any highlights? I don't know if they showed it. When he, Anthony, I think is the Portland player, and Anthony faced up Nuhu, and Nuhu's got his like wide stance, and he drops the hand and basically is like, come here, like from the Matrix, like, I know Kung Fu, and Morpheus says like, come here. He does that, and Anthony comes at him, and he wins and shoves him off the ball, and it goes out for a goal kick, and he gave him some words and like walked off. I'm like, just focus on doing that. Be that guy. Be that dominating defender that offensive players are like, I don't think I'm going to be able to beat him. And then they lose confidence, and then that just snowballs throughout the game. But the moment he bombs down and fucks everything up for us, like, look what happened, right? So he's just not a wingback. I don't want him running forward anymore. It ruins that. But he is a valuable piece on the defense.
He went 6 games without a yellow card.
First off, so 2 things about that real quick.
And before that, he had gone 8 games, so he had them erased.
But in the most recent disciplinary report from MLS, the disciplinary summary, they changed the caution accumulation warnings. They change it. Normally, they will say the next player is suspended with the next yellow. For this final week, it no longer says that. It says caution accumulation warnings. The following players are currently 1 caution away from a fine. That tells me that you do not get yellow accumulations going into the playoffs. Not only that, but Nuhu was not on that list. So I think we're okay, and Nuhu will not be suspended for the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, because he had 6 games without, which would have dropped. And he already had, I think each time he gets one closer, it drops back.
But it also seems like it also seems like that accumulation does not carry over past the regular season anyways, based on the language of this one. So I think we're okay.
Really, it's just go bed.
Yes.
Already for this week?
What's up?
Was that last week's?
That was last week. Yeah, that was October 16th, so going into the final games.
So it's saying this final week they'll get a fine.
Correct. And there were no Sounders on that list.
No. Okay. So Obed is really the only, presumably,
from everything I can tell, yes.
Red card's pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, so back full circle, I think that may mean we may end up seeing JP start. It could be Atencio.
I can answer. Wait, let's go back real quick. As of the 2022 season, and obviously they could have changed, if they get it the last regular season game, the red card, it would carry over to the first playoff game.
Oh, a red card? No, red card obviously would, yes.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Oh, so you're just confirming it, yeah. I heard you wrong. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. So JP probably starts, maybe. Well, now I'm kind of worried. Like, if he wasn't even seeing.
I don't know. I don't think JP starts. I think he'll be on the bench. I think they'll put in Atencio.
Atencio and Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes honestly the most sense. Atencio's had some good play. He's wearing the 6. He's wearing the number 6. Let's get him out there, I guess.
Atencio, 8. He's wearing the 8.
The 8? Oh, yeah. He's JP's 6. That's good.
Yeah, it's still. Trust.
He's wearing a number. He's got a number on
him. They gave him a number that means he should be starting, and then he lost his job to Obed. So.
Yeah. All right. So, Sounders, we scored a goal. Let's talk about the positives. I feel like we've been, fairly angry so far, but let's talk about it. Another set piece.
Atmosphere was good.
Atmosphere looked amazing. Aaron Jones.
It was good until the red card. I mean, people were upset, but it went off the rails after the red card.
That's true. Yeah,
man.
Let's start from the beginning. You guys got to the match. The new LED lights making every I've said this 1,000 times. Just love the night games. Love the night games.
They look cool. Yeah.
This time of year, it's actually night instead of July when it's still daylight. But
Roman
LEDs
and I
were going.
Pay respects to the king. We went and saw Roger Levesque, and we hailed the king. While we were waiting in line for him to show up, I was showing her videos of his goal celebrations, and when she saw his scuba diving celebration. Mm-hmm. She started giggling so hard, and she made me replay it like 10 times. She's like, again. Yeah. And and so when we went up to Roger, she plugged her nose and I had to explain to him that, she was a fan of the scuba diving celebration. So atmosphere was really good.
You're not smelly, Roger. We know you look like Jesus. You're not smelly. It's your celebration.
I loved Pedro's intensity. One thing that we didn't talk about was there was a moment in the first half where Pedro's coming back to play defense and he comes in and crunches a tackle that I was kind of surprised didn't turn into a yellow. I love seeing that intensity. Looked really good. I was feeling very good about all that. We got our goal from Yamar. Felt great. Cameron, how about you? First half, how are you feeling going into the game?
You know, we had a bunch of chances. It looked good. The ref was bothersome. He wasn't calling, how do we put it?
Really
this?
Anything.
For us.
Yeah.
He was like, he wasn't calling the fouls on Portland. He was calling them on us, and people were booing. Those were fouls on us. I didn't see anything that I felt like wasn't a foul. I think the problem was that he wasn't calling it both ways.
So, yeah, at halftime, I think the fouls were very lopsided at halftime, and certain players were getting fouled repeatedly, like Rothrock. And I don't know about individual fouls as far as players on Portland, but usually if a certain player is fouled repeatedly, that should be a yellow for accumulation, as is if a individual player is doing the fouling multiple times.
Yeah.
Right. They should have had, they had a player foul three times and get warnings three times. It was one of their midfielders, and not get a single yellow. And they were professional fouls where you're pulling someone down where they're on a run. Yeah. Which those are automatic yellows every time. Like it's everyone knows that's a yellow.
I saw two or three of those in the first half alone. Yeah.
Right. And they weren't calling those.
And so that part was really troublesome. And part of me was not, I was at a yellow alert. I wasn't feeling, you know, hairs on the back of my end, back of my neck standing up yet, because it just, It's just like, okay, maybe rivalry game, he's letting a lot go.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just
also, we were dominating. We were dominating possession.
Portland had, I think, two shots, period, and maybe one on goal in the first half.
We were absolutely, I mean, it looked like this was going to be a game where we were going to win 3-0 at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
and then
imagine my confused face when I was like, but those texts were so misleading. Like, it seemed doom and gloom, and I'm sitting in bed like, oh, this game's going really well.
Halftime happened. Shout out to the gold elevator. The gold
elevator. Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna talk about this because this normally is not something I'm a fan of.
It's important to me. Talk about it.
So. They announced pregame that Gold Elevator was a late add-on, that they were scratching the Red Elevator or whichever elevator it was.
Now, tell the backstory there. It's that Gold Elevator's been in the second division this whole season in terms of the Space Needle race.
Yeah.
Dominating the second division, but not have appeared in the first division where it belongs as the ultimate champion of everything. Okay, go ahead.
So, they announced pregame that the Gold Elevator is due to an injury, is making a late add to this thing. Camera cuts to the guy hanging in the north end who always has the Gold Elevator sign, and he's thrilled. He's always got his Gold Elevator up. I love the consistency. Great. Halftime comes, and Gold Elevator crushes it. They do like a funny little video of, you know, oh, maybe this is my moment. This is they really play it up, and the Gold Elevator wins. They flash to the guy with the Gold Elevator sign. He opens up the sign, and it's a marriage proposal. And he is proposing to his fiance, his now fiance.
No, keep going. This is not the part I cared about. Go ahead.
So she says yes. Very, very nice. And then the club announces on the scoreboard that the Gold Elevator is now retired and will no longer be part of the stadium. This was the magical send off, and I appreciated every aspect of that.
It for me, I know how Colts fans feel now when Andrew Luck retired out of the blue. Like, Gold Elevator, the only time Gold Elevator ever won before was at the Space Needle at the celebration party. Gold Elevator belongs in the Circle of Legends. Gold Elevator is one of the greatest sounders of all time, and it never got its rightful shake to do that. So for it to go off with a win like that in a testimonial match type setting was fantastic. I love Gold Elevator.
And I don't do I don't do public proposals, but I thought
I've done one. It went well at the moment, but not later.
How'd that go?
I mean, it was cool at the time, and then 10 months later we broke up.
but that was good because the person who did the proposal is the person who's been holding the sign up every single game. So I thought it was really fitting. I thought it was really well done. Obviously, they coordinated with the club. Kudos to the club for making that happen.
They not the context, but they mentioned that a fan proposed on Apple TV. So
interesting. So yeah, that's. I mean, we've seen that before. No, we've had weddings before. Like I officiated or I was a witness at one wedding at the MLS Cup final in 2019. That took place in the Hawk's Nest, and then
in the Hawk's Brooklyn Nest? Not
and
where then, the flag is.
No, Hawk's Nest is north.
Oh, I know where it is. I'm just feeling like the Hawk's Nest is a weird place to do a wedding. Steep stairs.
Had the field behind them all prepped and ready to go for the MLS Cup. Beautiful background for it. And then, of course, Brooklyn and Matt got engaged in front of the Gorilla FC section a ways back now at halftime of the game, which was really cool. Mm. Or sorry, got married. Not engaged. Got married and surprised Brooklyn's mom.
We got married. That's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Randy, it would be furious if I had proposed in a public like setting, like something like that. She's just not. I don't think
I brought my ex. I got called on stage at the Showbox at a sold out 1200 person show by the Lawrence Arms by Brendan. And then I called her on stage and proposed in front of everyone at the sold out show. It was fun.
You gotta know your partner. You gotta know your partner.
She said yes.
But what I mean is, some partners are into that. Some people are not. And usually,
and you should have that conversation, right? Like
100%. I hope so.
I've already had the feelers. Yeah. I've already had that conversation with my on again, off again, sometimes. Person I'm seeing.
Let's get back to the game.
It was good. Let's get back to the game. Halftime, second half. Half-time. How'd you feel about the second half?
Cameron, go ahead.
Sort of frustrated. Again, that's when I started to get frustrated with Jordan. Missed shots, not making runs, not stretching the defense to open up space for other people. I tweeted out, does he not realize he's the fastest person on the field? Like, run at the damn defense. I think my frustration then boiled over when Nuhu scored, because I'm actually yelling at Nuhu as he's running down. He can't hear me.
Did you say Nuhu scored?
No, Nuhu gave up the score.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's I was like, stay inside. And he just passes him off without communicating, and the guy just kicks it in. I mean, I would like to hear your opinion on that goal, though, Aaron, because for me, it looked like that's something that, because of the amount of space that was there, that Fry should have been able to stop. But I have not seen a replay. So what was your thought when you saw that goal?
To be 100% honest with you, I was in bed at 12:15 a.m. On Saturday night. So I did watch it. I was more frustrated with Nuhu, but I mean,
there was some criticism of De La Vega because he gave the ball away that led to that, but he'd run himself into the ground by that point. Like, I'm not as mad about that. He had two defenders back there that could have helped.
But also, turnovers happen throughout the game, all game, by everybody. So, I mean, you don't like them. You don't want to see a player have multiple turnovers in one game, but they happen. it is how you react, and that's how you're constructed and how you communicate. So
yeah,
I think the communication is the key, and your keeper's not going to stop 100% of shots. Otherwise, no one would watch soccer. So like, I think it's on Nuhu. I think he breaks the line or does not communicate well enough, despite us being the best defensive team in the league. So, yeah. I mean, I think they're more just, maybe it's a confirmation bias again. I mean, we have the most shutouts. I think the most shutouts. We are the best defensive team in the league. But I think if we're scoring more goals, we forgive gaffes like that a little more often. But when they are so glaring on that kind of stage, it is really frustrating. It's frustrating.
Watching the replay right now, if De La Vega gave it up on the equivalent of like the opposite 30-yard line.
Yeah, like
they went down the entire field.
When you said that, I'm like, I don't really even remember that being part of, like, I'm, you know, there's enough time in between that and then
the guy's running and Reagan does go after him, but it's because Nuhu doesn't stay on him, and then Nuhu tries to cut in. So I don't even mind giving up the goal as much as not then responding.
I mean, the team responded.
2 minutes after the goal happened was the red card. So it was really tough to, you know, it's really tough to make a response on that. And we've seen Vancouver, we got the red card.
The red card happened because we were pushing inside their box. It's tough.
After the red card. We had more shots than they did.
Not only that.
Come on. That was the descent. He threw his arms in the air. Like, that was considerably less than LA gave multiple times.
To quote Bull Durham, he must have called him a cocksucker.
Yeah, that's what he didn't, though. He didn't even say words. He just went,
argh. It had to have been, fragile ego. But one stat that really made me feel comfortable about the fact that that was our game is we had 41 touches in their box. Portland had 14. I mean, we were just creating opportunities. It feels like a loss. It feels like a loss, and it's frustrating.
Schmetzer, I mean, if you haven't watched Schmetzer's post-game press conference, he addresses a lot of this stuff. And he said, this is a loss. After watching the press conference, I was a lot happier with his takeaway in it. You know, he explained some of his subs. Obviously I was heated in the moment, because I,
heat one, I, the moment.
I hate to lose to Portland more than anything.
He didn't lose, but I get, we lost.
We dropped from the 3 to the 4 seed. We lost we lost our locked in Champions League spot, and we didn't win Cascadia Cup.
Yeah, so I get it.
Oh, I made a nice save with his head though at one point.
It does feel like a loss. I get it. I agree. But
can I say one thing about Nuhu though, real quick? That yes. Nuhu shot when he pulled up and almost made it, and it whizzes through the box and misses by less than a foot. That is the one. That's the first time we've seen Nuhu take a shot on goal that I was like, okay, that's a good
shot.
That's
the first time he's taken a shot on goal. I mean, it wasn't on goal. It was close, but it was.
You're right.
But everything else has been like backwards almost.
Yeah. But I mean, ultimately, with hindsight, you're right, Nick. Like, we tied a game that kept us in a good playoff spot. We can still get a Champions Cup spot.
We kept Portland, which is one of the top three offenses in the league. We shut them down. Even when they were up a man, we shut them down. So let's take that into consideration.
There's no confidence lost in this from that match.
Frustration. Yeah. A lot of frustration because
maybe that's good frustration to have.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't feel this way again.
But it just sucks because
I would have liked the game to have played out so that the teams on the field could have decided how the game went instead of someone else.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Then again, Jordan Morris, get the ball in the net.
I am going to straight up say that I thought their goalkeeper was the man of the match for the game because he made two key saves in very important moments. He had six saves overall.
And Jordan wasn't the only one that, didn't
hit the net. So, he had six saves. His expected goals against should have been 1.61. But he had a really good game.
That's 1.61. I mean, considering.
I mean, Rothrock should have had one, I feel. Rusnak should have had one just on the outside of, like, Jordan, the six-yard box.
Second half.
Christian.
Hey, it happens.
It seems to happen a lot. That's why
we're But we have four straight games without a Morris goal. Morris's last goal was against San Jose, who's the worst team in the league. And that's the last game where he had, well, I guess he had two shots on target in this game, but he had three shots on target in that game. Otherwise, it's 0-1-1. So we're not getting the ball to him in dangerous positions, which I don't think is the case, or he's not converting those. I think it's probably both.
Okay. I think we're unbeaten in the last seven.
True.
We're unbeaten in the last seven, unfortunately.
There's no ties in the playoffs though. So,
okay. I mean, that's also okay. But in the last seven, we've gotten five wins and two ties.
Yeah. I mean, we are in a place now that we can go on a great run here. It would have been to beat Portland and push forward on it would have been ideal.
So one of the things we talked about in previous episodes was, does the result of this game become a indicator of how you feel going into the playoffs? And let's ask that question. Now that this result has happened,
Let's roll over.
How do you feel about going into the playoffs? Aaron, why don't you start us off?
Well, just like I said, I don't feel any lack of confidence, but I feel like I know exactly what to expect out of the Sounders based on the last 2-3 months. And we've been very consistent in our performances. You know, strong defense, very good midfield, good possession. Can't figure out the final blow most of the time. We'll get a goal or two. I was excited to see Yamar get a header in. I feel like with Yamar and Reagan, we should have had a lot more set piece goals, considering we were leading the league. I think we're still leading the league in corners, right?
Probably.
Well, I mean, we were for the majority of the league.
We were so significantly ahead that I would be surprised if we
not. But to have like two goals on the season, I think, from corners, like right off the head. I don't know anything that's been bounced around like a pinball, but I know what to expect, I think, from this team going into Houston. And we just recently, it was pretty recent that we played Houston, right? What was the schedule?
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
that was
late September.
Yeah, it was four games
two,
ago.
2-0?
But
1-0. 1-0. 1-0.
That was without Hector Herrera, who did get 45 minutes of play in the last game. So he's back, and that's a significant piece for them.
In the LA Galaxy game?
Yeah.
So here's the lineup that we have played against Houston. Jordan up top, Rothrock, Rusnak, Pedro de la Vega started. We had Obed and Christian back at CDM, and then the usual back line. So
I think we'll see the same.
Yeah, I think, well, no,
obviously
Obed.
Not Obed.
Yeah,
but you could slot any one of those youth players Pedro in. I mean, I think it'll be a Tencio, but if Danny's looking hot, throw him in there. I don't know. I mean, like in practice, not attractive. Obviously, he's an attractive man.
So we had 12 shots to their 7. They had substantially more passes, actually. That's interesting. That's usually our bread and butter.
Yeah.
671 to 396. But, yeah, I'm confident in this team to actually at least get it to penalties, right? That's what you said. There's no draws, right? So it'll go 90 minutes.
I mean, if it's at home,
no extra time. I agree.
If it's at home, we can't.
I think we have to win. I think we need to win. I think we're going to come out. There's anger, there's frustration in a constructive way from this Portland match, I feel, just because it's not like the Sounders shot themselves in the foot that much to give that game up. I think there's enough reason to.
Are we going to talk about previews for Houston? Or are we going to save that for a future
episode? I think we should try it. We could lead into it a little bit, but I think we should do a show on it as we see the Wednesday matches happen. We'll see how the brackets get filled out. No. I'd like to have a more dedicated show on that.
Yeah, we can do that. I do want to say this about it though. This is not Houston in the summer, which is a huge blessing for us. Like,
yes.
It's still not great. I mean, this whole week it's going to be 86, 87 or 88 with 77. Yeah,
Coda, the Formula One race, that was 83. So,
It's going to be hot and humid, but it's not going to be deathly like it was. So they have us, we play Monday, 87 degrees with a 17% rain cover. So
can I throw out a hot take question?
Yeah.
Do you support the idea of Brian saving a sub for stoppage time if it's a tie game to put on Andrew Thomas for Stephen Fry for penalties?
I don't think he would, but yes, please.
I would love to see it. He's not going to do that.
Chelsea did it in the Champions League.
Did they really?
Some teams qualified for the World Cup doing that. Like
that'd be his literal first touch of a ball.
Yeah, but certain goalies.
And then not a field player. Yeah.
Certain goalies are.
I'm for it.
More of a specialist for penalties.
Yeah, he's a better. We know. I mean,
I feel like in my heart of hearts, I feel like every time. I feel like both things can be true. Stefan is the better goalie. Andrew Thomas is who I'd rather see in a penalty situation.
He's better. Oh,
I was just thinking Andrew taking the penalty. I don't know why I was.
Oh,
yes,
that too.
No, I'm all for him going in.
But I'm talking about literally for penalties.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of him taking the shot. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, he scored one. That's true. And it was important. But no, I would love to see that, actually. I'm for that. I'll vote yes.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas, 2024.
So I'm putting that out there into the ether.
I don't think it happens. I would love to see it.
I don't think it'll happen either. But yeah, Fry would.
I don't know. I trust that they're considering it because they're going to be considering it, but then there's always the psychological. Does it make sense to do that?
Will it do to Fry? He's a relatively even headed guy in general, but when it comes to games, he's fiery. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but he's never stopped without going off the line.
And I guess the question is like what does that look like in practice when they're doing penalties? Is it head and because that's probably what it comes down to. If it's head and shoulders in practice, if Andrew Thomas is clearly saving more,
you kind of have to.
Then yeah, but if in practice it's close and it's just that our view of it is what we see in the limited sample size. So I trust they'll make the right decision. I'm just throwing that out there of is that something you could see the Sounders doing?
I would love to find out who's the better
stopper. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it would ever happen, but I would love to see it because we know based on the statistics what the answer is.
Like, and I do. Statistically,
yeah.
Well, we'll see him next year, right? Presumably going to be our starting.
Cameron and I have talked about this in the past where I feel like when Stefan is taking a penalty, there have been multiple occasions in which he doesn't make the save, but he's also left his line early. So even if he did make the, unfortunately, just something about his technique on penalties
doesn't give me confidence. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, the zero saves doesn't give me confidence.
That's... Yeah, because I mean, we went back and figured it out. I don't remember how many years it was, but it's been a while since he's had a save.
Yeah,
but we're not going to worry about that because we're not going to have a tie, and we're not going to.
No, we're going to win 1-0. It's going to be great.
Oh God,
1-0.
You know, I am not going to be able to make the game. Both of the home games are when I'm not available. The first
Which
one,
the second
Monday,
is of course as needed.
I'm flying to LA that while the game's going on for David Gilmore at the Hollywood Bowl. And then the second home game, I already have tickets for another event, Wicked, at the Paramount. So
everyone's going to say that they wish you were here.
Oh, I see what you did there. I like it. Yeah. I like it. Well done. Well done, slow cap.
So where can they find you all on the internet?
Aaron?
Nowhere, apparently. at Aaron Lingley, AAronLingley. And same thing on Instagram, though I never really look at it.
Cameron, you want to tell everyone how to find his phone number? Look.
Yeah, you just put Aaron Lingley in Google, and you can find me at Legal Minded Punk at all places where social media exists.
And I am on Twitter at Nikita Banana. Nikita Banana. And I am on Instagram at Cascades2C.
Yeah, rest in peace, Tony Ventrella.
Join our Discord. Get on there.
Yeah. Yeah, join the Discord, join the Patreon.
Patreon, support the show. I can buy more beer. I can pay off.
We can pay for hosting. We can pay for hosting. Let's start there.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you can write off your beer. Are you? Actually, the IRS doesn't love it when you write off beer. That's why you're always supposed to like only write off the meal portion.
I don't pay taxes.
But we love you all, and we'll see you all probably later this week here on another episode of Sounder Scuttlebutt. Do you want to tell James to take it away, Aaron?
Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.